Good morning, everyone. We'll begin with prayer for the communion class. And everybody had a pretty good week.
Yeah.
Good. This one was better. All right, we'll begin with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for where you're taking us in the spirit and how you're moving in throughout our lives. Lord, bless us to do all that we can. Alert us to the things that we need to do the most, to use the time wisely that we have. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, the Lord can take a little and do a lot with it. And when I studied, communion is when you draw near to the Lord and he's drawing near to you, you're sharing perspectives. He's telling you things that, you know, he'll share with you what you need to know. He knows what's going on. And you can share with him what you need and what you desire and ask him what he wants. You know, that bond is the backbone of all that we do.
Amen.
Daniel pointed out that he said, they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. So if we're strong, we're healthy. If we're healthy, we can live and not just survive, but thrive in life and help others do the same. And even the suggestion of warfare, the ability to learn and do warfare, comes from communion. David was one of the best soldiers, just like he was one of the best kings, because he had a strong relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
And as we take heed to what the Spirit is saying, this is the heart of God speaking, what Jesus is saying to the seven churches. And he was talking to the angel of the church, of the churches in different places. And I was studying it yesterday, the angel, I always thought it was like a pastor, but it was the apostle that was over jurisdictions, because he was dealing with churches, different churches in that area. And
where did you find that?
I was studying it, and it, you know, because some of the people, like in Thyatira, they didn't do all the things that one church did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the enemy set something up in one church, and other churches didn't do it. But the church is the whole body, but they met at different places. And the Lord would set people over the, you know, that area.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just the wisdom of God. Any church that grow, eventually it'll branch out. That's how a healthy church does. So we had, you know, other pastors would be set up, not just one, because it was so many.
Yeah.
And so we'll begin in verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and thy faith, and thy patience. So they had works, charity, service, faith, and patience in that order. They had great faith because they had works. They had love. They had living faith. When you have love, you have living faith. When you have works, you have living faith. And they had patience. And then he said it again, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. They were ready to go, in other words. Verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now this was Satan's way of extinguishing the church. Jezebel. Now, the last church we looked at, they had a problem with Baal worship. Jezebel, she was like a daughter of that religion. Her name suggested Jezebel. And Baal worship is what Baal did in the days of Balak. Balak paid him to curse Israel, cast a stumbling block before Israel. And this thing was so bad that the Lord raised up Nebuchadnezzar to put him in captivity. When the generation of Baal worshipers died out, he took over the whole world. And Baal couldn't help them, and all their idols couldn't help them. And then he honored the God of the Jews, the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And after that, you didn't hear anything else about Baal worship to now. It's attractive because people can be lured into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And this was creeping in Thyatira. There was a church there, or maybe one or two, that was practicing these things, or beginning to. And because God loves the church, if there's a storm coming, he's going to show you. If you pay attention to him, he'll show it to you so you can kill the storm. And this was a plot of Satan. And whenever Satan has something that, you know, if he plots against me, there are times the Lord will tell me what he's doing. And then I'll rebuke it. and it can't happen. We have authority here. That's why the false prophet, well, the Antichrist can't appear, because he can't be revealed as the Antichrist until we're gone. Because one Christian can stop him. Because we have authority over all the power of the enemy, including the Antichrist. He's not to be feared. It's just Amen. A man that wants to Amen. Do evil. And you turn Satan off, he's dormant. He can't do what he wants to do. But when the void of the church is gone, we're going to leave a great void when the rapture happens. And what you're going to have left is people that didn't walk with the Lord, people that backslid, people that didn't get saved in the first place, and just men without God. So the enemy will come in like a flood while there's a void and set up his kingdom. And create a greater stronghold. But that can't happen with the church in place, because you can stop it. Not just the body of Christ, but just one person can stop the works of darkness. And there are many who will, and there are many who won't, but there are many who will stop it. The word said, he that letteth will let. We have the authority to bind and loose, and some of us will, and some may not. But the enemy don't want to shake the hornet's nest. Okay, he said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent for her fornication, and she repented not. Now that's the grace of God. He gave them time to repent. Within that time, he would warn people to stop doing the wrong and start. Sin always changes the heart. It hardens your heart against God, and it weakens you. Your weakness will grow, and your heart will become harder, and it changes your will. And it, after a while, people won't repent. They can't hear the Holy Spirit anymore. And the Lord appeared to Solomon twice, and his heart was turned. But I hope and I believe that he came back. He wrote Proverbs before he fell. And then I believe he came back and wrote Ecclesiastes. And Proverbs is a book of a man that loves God, learning from God about wisdom, and then he teaches it. Ecclesiastes is a book about everyday life in the world from the perspective of a person that's been there. So that's why Ecclesiastes, vanity is vanity, all is vanity. I believe the wisdom God gave him, he saw the world for what it was and just came back to God. Because he said, so I return in chapter 4. So I hope that means that he left the world alone and went back to God in his old age. And then he wrote the book of life just being disconnected from God. And because he didn't know, in the world, you don't know what to do. You just, things are going wrong, and you can't fix it. And you need a comforter. The book of Ecclesiastes pointed out that everybody needs the Holy Spirit to comfort them in life. He saw injustice happening, and they had no comfort. And there was strength on the side of the oppressor, and there was no strength on the side of those being oppressed. And they had no comforter. And they died that way. And so he saw the ills of the world. And if you agree with the world, and you're trapped by it, it's your master. So Jezebel is trying to, people doing the same thing she did. her heart was so hard that she wanted the prophets dead. She had the prophets killed. Elijah got away, and she was trying to kill him. But look at the judgment of what's going to happen. He said, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, but she repented not. He said, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Now this means that they're going to have serious problems, and then they're disconnected from God. They don't have a mind to repent. And these are the kind that will suffer through the great tribulation. People that they once knew God, but they went back to fornication and wouldn't repent. They'll end up in the great tribulation because sin weakens you and hardens your heart so much that, you know, God, they'll have a mind to do that and not serve God. He said, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death. Now this is a very interesting statement because if she has a mind to do it, the children that come after her will be worse. A person that can know about God, know about the Holy Spirit, the move of God, then turn from it and get into fornication, and you bear fruit after your kind. So what will the children do? God said he'll kill the children with death, and all the churches will know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts. In other words, if he don't, he's going to have something worse. And he said, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. It's still personal. It's still what people do. Some people can decide not to do that. But he said he'll kill her children, her children that follow her ways with death. He said, when we draw near to the Lord, there are times you're going to learn things that's just brutal, and it comes from God. He's showing you the surgery side. You know, there's a surgery side of God. He cuts out wickedness. He has a plan for wickedness just like he has a plan for righteousness. If you only learn the good side, the blessing side, the ministry will be unbalanced. You have to know him, where he stands on everything, and then you can serve him correctly. You can portray him. You can be an ambassador of him, of his heart, what he'll do, what he won't do, and the reasons for it. It's everything he do is motivated from love. And as we'll pick up at verse 24 next week. But he thinks of everything. Okay. Any questions as we turn to Corinthians statements?
It's interesting. He did give her time to repent.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just bam. You know? Mm-hmm. She was given time to repent, but apparently,
yeah,
she had not.
Mm-hmm. Man is no match for sin, and you know, you're outclassed if you play with sin, if you're attracted to it. But sin is no match for God, and those who follow God, you can destroy. You have the ability to drive it out of your life, just like the Israelites were supposed to drive out the Canaanites. You can drive it out. And the Lord will help you. He'll give you the wisdom that you may not have to do it. Okay.
Do you remember how you put this? I didn't get exactly like you said, so I'm going to put the gist of what I remember, but I want it more like you said it. You said through sin, the heart becomes very hard and the evil becomes greater. That's not what you said. Mm-hmm. And it will change. Eventually it changes your thoughts and your soul, and you'll apostatize.
Mm-hmm. Your will becomes weaker.
Your will becomes weaker. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And your heart becomes harder. And you're being taken over. Jezebel was being taken over by her sin.
Okay.
And if she don't stop it, then God can't stop it because that's her choice. But if she stop it, then God will help her out. And that's the power of repentance. Okay. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. You know, Jesus gave us the victory to overcome every aspect of the world. And through fellowship with him, we gain the will, the determination, the love, and all we need to not only conquer the world, but thrive in life. And I thank God for that. Ray, you'll close us out in prayer.
Father, I thank you so much that you are a God who takes care of us, who watches over us, and who is willing to remove false teachers that would deceive us. I thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for being with us in all things. Especially, I thank you for your constant presence with us in the form of the Holy Spirit, guiding us and leading us in everything, every day. We thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.